WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum are now in place. The tariffs kicked in at midnight and are expected to boost prices on cars, appliances, even groceries and toys.
At Walmart, the nation's largest retailer, the cost of some toys way up. A baby Bourne doll that cost $34.97 in March now costs $49.97, up roughly 43%. Last month, an Etch-A-Sketch cost $14.97. Now it's $24.99, a nearly 67% increase. Walmart's CEO had sparked Trump's anger by warning the president's tariffs would lead to higher prices. Walmart telling us the new price hikes are influenced by a variety of factors.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Members of the Boulder community to hold a vigil tonight following the firebombing attack that left 12 people hurt, the suspect facing hate crime and attempted murder charges. Several people feared dead in a stampede outside a cricket stadium in India. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski has announced the launch of a free online database of public government documents in an effort to promote transparency. According to a press release on Monday, the goal of the database is to give residents all the information they need to stay up to date and hold the government accountable. The public documents include things like executive orders, pardons, and a variety of other official public records. They will also be able to order certified copies of the documents for a fee directly from the website. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to take precautions to prevent the spread of invasive species during Invasive Species Action Month. State law prohibits the transportation or introduction of certain invasive species without a permit in an effort to protect native species from harmful effects, including depopulation. Residents who identify invasive plants or insects should report them to DNR officials. A number of other helpful tips to combat the spread of invasive species can be found on the DNR's website. A Dallas man accused of making terrorist threats directed at staffers from the Veterans Administration Center in Rice Lake has entered not guilty pleas to the charges. According to court documents, 39-year-old Jonathan B. West was charged with one felony count of making terrorist threats and misdemeanor charges of unlawful phone use, threatening harm, and disorderly conduct. West entered the not guilty pleas in court on Friday, and a jury trial was scheduled for October. He's facing up to 3.5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted. North Lakes Community Clinic has announced the official opening of its new healthcare hub in Rice Lake. Organization officials say the new facility on West Avenue will offer a wide range of services, including dental care, behavioral health, pediatric speech therapy, and physical therapy. Those services had previously been offered at different locations in the area, but the new centralized facility will make the organization more efficient and improve access for patients. The now fully integrated facility officially opened its doors on Monday. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers lose to the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night, top of the ninth, the Brewers down 4-2. It looked like Milwaukee's Jake Bowers had just hit a two-run homer to center field to tie up the game on the Reds FanDuel Network.
Center field, Friedel. At the wall! He made the catch, and the Reds win!
Jake Bowers asked if he thought he'd hit that ball hard enough to get it out of the park.
I got it a touch off the end. I knew it was going to be close. And then once I saw it coming down, I knew that was probably a wrap.
So the Brewers' 8-game winning streak comes to an end. They finish the series today. NFL at the OTAs. The Packers drafted running back Marshawn Lloyd in the third round last year, but he's been limited again, this time with a hamstring injury.
We have a feel for what he is certainly capable. I mean, we've seen enough. He's an explosive player, but he's got to prove it over the course of time.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to have a little more of that Canadian wildfire smoke out there this morning, but that should gradually clear through this afternoon, and then we will get a bit of a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Sunny this afternoon, 78 the high tonight, partly cloudy, 47 tomorrow. Sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. And I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, and our newest way to check in, if you have the Civic Media app, which you should, because our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest is underway for the next 2 weeks. You have to have the app in order to enter. But if you do have the app, you can now do a voice note.
That's very, very cool.
It is cool.
You go to the app, open it up, pick your station. You can customize, pick your favorite station. And then when you're in that page, you can simply hit the word voice note, which is at the bottom of the app. And you just leave us a little recording. Tell us who you are.
Where you're listening,
and what station you're listening, or if you listen in the app, and you know, we'll take a listen ahead of time, make sure it's in context and FCC compliant.
Always important.
But yeah, you can do that. It's another great way to get in touch with us, and that's through the Civic Media app. And download it for free.
Yeah,
do it now.
Yeah, do it now. It's completely free. We have a busy show coming up after the 9:30 news. The president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, Darren Von Rudin, will be joining us, going to be talking about a number of things, including, obviously, tariffs. Darren is a soybean farmer, and Derek Van Orden.
Darren Von Rudin.
Derek Van Orden. Spoke to farmers recently about tariffs.
Yeah.
He's all for them.
Right in front of farmers' faces,
yeah,
too.
Right, you know, in front, yeah, of farmers' faces. So we're going to talk to Darren Von Rudin about that, among many other things, after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, Nathan Deming. Very much looking forward to talking to Nathan. He is a Wisconsin native, and he's a filmmaker.
Yes.
Who kind of spends his time in between Wisconsin and California, I believe. But Pete Schwabba, who does Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. across the network on weekdays, was actually in a film of his.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And Nathan has got a new project, Wisconsin-focused.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And then we're also going to talk about, there was this proposal that came up a couple of months ago about film credits.
Yes.
Trying to encourage and entice, essentially, companies who are making movies to make them in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the discussion because it's one of those things where you're like, why doesn't this seems right.
It doesn't seem like it would be a hard thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't. So that's coming up in hour number two. Also in hour number two, the segment we call Audio Sorbet, around 10:35 after the 10:30 news. There it is.
The light harps.
What's your home remedy?
What's your home? Oh,
everybody's got one. We were talking about this off the air because of something that I've recently been dealing with. But what is your home remedy?
You know it works.
And you know it works. There might not be any scientific basis for it, but it works. What is your home remedy? We'll do that after the 10:30 news.
I'll even open it up to, it doesn't work, but you refuse to believe that it doesn't work.
Do it anyway. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Gully G edition.
God.
There is an audio portion and a video portion that we'll include in the show notes.
I'll warn you now, when the audio portion comes, turn them speakers down just a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
Oh Gully G edition of Tisbat coming up around 10:51. Wanted to start off with this, though. Found this morning in Wisconsin Public Radio. Anya Van Wagendonk with the byline. Following failed Robin Voss recalls, rules for petition circulators could change in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Remember when a group of Republicans.
Yes.
They were the ones who mounted this recall against Robin Voss.
Twice.
Because the 2020 election wasn't stolen.
Correct. He came out and said that the 2020 election was not stolen after Michael Gableman stole millions of our taxpayer dollars. And Robin Voss, I think, just finally said this. It was fine. It's nothing was just, can we move on?
I'm done.
That really enraged the further MAGA right. Because Robin Voss is pro-Trump, voted for Trump, endorses him, the whole thing. But this was not good enough for a certain group of individuals who reside, I believe, in either Racine or Kenosha. I saw the house that was the headquarters, by the way.
Oh, really?
But yeah, they tried to recall him twice. In one election cycle.
Yeah. And now there's some people are not happy about that. So they want to make some changes, as they always do.
Yeah.
So here is what they're looking at. Under current law, the way things are right now, anyone who is eligible to vote in Wisconsin, if they live here, can circulate nominating papers or recall petitions. So anyone who's 18 and a citizen and not otherwise disqualified can circulate these recall petitions. Under the new GOP bill, people circulating recall petitions need to live here in Wisconsin. This would also apply to people circulating nomination papers to get somebody on the ballot.
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of discussion, again, during this Robin Voss recall attempt that they were bringing in outsiders to knock on doors and circulate these petitions.
Yeah.
Then they did.
And I say to that, so what? They're not voting. And volunteers coming in from out of state is a regular occurrence in campaigning. You bus people in, they'll knock on doors, they cover more area. Both sides do it. That's not uncommon.
It's not a surprise.
They're not doing anything illegal. They're merely knocking on the door saying, hey, we want to do X. Would you like to support? That's it. I think this is wholly stupid.
His feelings were hurt.
Well, you know, I didn't realize that Robin Voss had feelings after the way he spoke to Luann Bird yesterday, but you know.
Sensitive.
Wow, he's a sensitive popcorn king.
Supporters of this measure testified before the Assembly Elections Commission yesterday. One of the co-authors of the plan said a lot of people involved in the recall efforts against Robin Voss were from out of state. Quote, these petitioners were not invested members of our communities. It was an orchestrated effort by outside activists to influence our state's electoral outcomes. Unquote.
I always love to use it with dramatic flowery language. They love to be. They're not invested members of the community.
No, they're getting paid.
Well, then,
or they're volunteers.
Then anyone who wants to do this has to live in the same district, or the county, or the city, or the block. What is it going to be? If someone is traveling, usually on their own dime, to come volunteer
to
for a campaign,
something like this,
they're pretty invested in the process. And this is once again Robin Voss trying to end he did not latch on to this one, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
No, Robin hasn't signed on. He is not among the bill's co-sponsors.
He is the eye of the storm for this whole thing.
Yes.
And anytime they feel threatened, they want to change the rules because they don't like it. So now they're going to make it that only Wisconsinites can do it. This is so dumb. This is such a waste of time.
The supporters of this measure say the residency requirement amounts to closing a loophole, noting that non-residents can still nominate candidates for president and vice president. Quote, this legislation is not about making it harder to participate in democracy.
Yes, it is.
It's about ensuring that the voices that shape Wisconsin elections are those who live, work, and vote here, unquote.
If they're so concerned about loopholes, how about let's close some tax loopholes on the rich? Loopholes on businesses who don't pay their fair share. There's a lot of loopholes they could concern and close up that would help Wisconsin really instead of this absolute bunk.
Well, and I think it's important that we keep an eye on what their priorities are. Because again, we had four meetings across the state from the Joint Finance Committee where they were listening to constituents. And what were the top three things that people that the Joint Finance Committee heard from after waiting for hours to address them? It was about health care. It was about schools. And it was about child care. And what are they doing? Are they addressing any of those things? No, they're doing stuff like this because Robin Voss's feelings were hurt.
And let's also not forget what the first major motion out of the state house was when 2025 came around and they all came back to work after a 10-month vacation. Putting an amendment or putting a ballot measure on the spring election that would enshrine voter ID into our constitution. That was the pressing thing of the moment. Oh my God, Jane, we are
election integrity, Greg.
Wisconsin's in trouble unless we get this thing done. These are the important things to them, and it's about distraction. It's about making your power. I mean, this is so dumb. This is so dumb.
It sounds like a big waste of energy. It really does.
And money and time.
Yes. And again, we're not talking about people who are knocking on doors. Yes. Okay. So people come from out of state to circulate petitions.
Yeah. They come and they volunteer to help with campaign initiatives, whether it's a recall, whether it's getting nomination papers. Like, this is the process. This is the part of the American process of voting. And they're like, well, if you don't live here, you can't do it. Why?
Because it's a protective measure. It's to protect them, right?
Yeah.
It's to protect them. And at the same time, then affect the other side as well. If they would do something like this, that's also going to affect people who want to volunteer for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they're pushing it. And that's the other thing, too, Jane, is that this whole thing is like GOP-centric. Because the Democrats were on the side going, I don't know, how about we just vote them out at the election time, not 2.5 months before.
Right.
It's just such a, like, I don't know. Yeah. It goes back to the idea of like any threat to their power they see in any way, shape, or form, period, they have to nip it in the bud. And that comes in the way of not nullifying the new fair maps, but making them so that even though you won, you don't get a voice.
Well, it's kind of rewriting rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real petty. It's real childlike. And, but that's what we've come to know and love about this GOP, this Wisconsin GOP, which is, you know, I won't play with you. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Well, if there's anything that they're really good at, it's protecting their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anyone who is listening was at the Joint Finance Committee meetings, the four that they held around Wisconsin last month, where residents could voice their concerns and tell lawmakers what it is they wanted to see addressed in Wisconsin. Did anybody at these 9-hour Joint Finance Committee meetings bring up the fact that we need to protect petition circulators?
We don't have to protect. This is not about protecting elections. This is about protecting the pre-show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. This has nothing to do with voter integrity. This has nothing to do. It's just like you said, it's another squirrel.
Yes.
It's another squirrel.
But in the face of true concern, they said, you know, healthcare, childcare, education. And they're like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to make sure that if nomination papers or recall papers go out, they got to live here. That's important. Jane, the thieves everywhere trying to recall people. They're everywhere.
Everybody's out to get me.
Yeah.
When we return, there's a rip in the fabric of the universe because I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oi.
Well, I gotta go.
We got all the details on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit NoTimeToWait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest is underway through next Friday. Mm-hmm. So you want to be listening in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours for the keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. It's your chance to pick up either $100 in cash, everybody could use that, or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, and then you are in the drawing for the grand prize. Summer vacations in either Door County or in Baraboo, and we've got your gas money, too, to get you there.
And at 11 o'clock, just listen for me or Jane to give you that keyword during the Tom Hartman show.
You're exactly.
Our wonderful, velvety voices.
Dulcet. Julian Oliva. Julian Oliva, one, listening on WCFW.
Oh, nice.
And Ashley, listening on WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Also, one of our winners in our Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. So make sure you're ready. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. That is the only way to play.
Correct.
And again, after 11 o'clock with Tom Hartman, we will have that next keyword for you. So good luck with that. Right now, though, we're going to spend a little time about something that we have been meaning to talk about and just kind of gets shoved off the page when we get up in the morning, because there's lots of things.
Because there's always
lots
news.
Of things breaking all the time.
Yeah.
But in this budget bill, there's lots and lots of things they jammed in here. And as we have found out, many of our lawmakers don't really bother to read the whole thing.
That's something we see. I feel like every time there's a massive piece of legislation or a controversial piece of legislation, there's always going to be one to, I don't know, five people who admit on camera, I didn't actually read this.
Oh, I didn't know that was in there.
Whoops.
But, and I guess I can understand that the lawmaker isn't necessarily going to read all 1,000 pages themselves, but isn't that what they have people for?
Well,
you have three staffers in your office, and it's like, you read the first third, you read the second third, you read the last part, and then give me a synopsis.
Yeah. I always like to say this, though. If you ever looked at it, if you ever held a bill in your hand from state government, it is...
It's pretty weighty.
It's weighty, but it's also tighter margins, a third of the page is empty for notes, and it's triple spaced. So if you took all the... 1,000 pages in your hand is a lot, but it's not as long as we always like to think it is. But yeah, that's something you farm out to aides, to interns, to legislative affair, and say, provide me a briefing of the things you think I should know about.
Well, so I know what's in this measure before I vote for it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia essentially admitted yesterday she is completely unaware that inside of this budget bill, there is a 10-year ban preventing states from regulating artificial intelligence.
Say that again.
There is a 10-year ban that will prevent states from regulating artificial intelligence for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's against this, which I am also against this. That seems like a really bad idea.
Correct. Yes.
When we look at the way that AI is being used now and the amount of deep fakes that are coming out, and some of them are really good.
Yes.
As far as looking legitimate, looking real. I absolutely think we need to have some regulation on AI as this is an evolving technology.
I absolutely agree. And I think one of the problems we face too is that you have a few companies who are a few years into it. So they're a little more advanced in their technology. And with an additional decade of unregulated existence, they are going to make it. And I'm sorry if this sounds very tinfoil hat type of thing, but they are going to ensconce themselves into our culture so deeply that when that 10 years is finally up, it's going to be so difficult to regulate them.
And to get rid of it.
Well, I'm not even saying get rid of it, but I'm saying just to even regulate it at all, because not only that, but over the next decade, they're going to build up a lobbying army that's going to rival the pharmacology industry as well as the gun industry. And it's going to be like, how are you going to regulate us? We are part of your lives. We write your reports. We do this. Blah, 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 blah. And then it's going to be some states will just say, ugh, forget it. I won't do it at all. And we'll be in trouble. Very deep trouble.
There is another Republican lawmaker, I believe it's Flood, who came out and addressed this as well. But it's just interesting. Once you read the whole thing, you know, some things pop out at you a little bit. You kind of want to know those things before you vote in favor of said things.
Yeah, but it's too late, Marjorie. You already voted for it. It's at the Senate now. So hopefully maybe you can talk to your Senate friends, if you have any over there, and say, hey, can you take this provision out? Or, I mean, the bus left the station a while ago.
Well, yes, with her, that's a...
Yeah.
Quote, we have no idea what AI will be capable of in the next 10 years, and giving it free rein and tying states' hands is potentially dangerous. This needs to be stripped out in the Senate, unquote. I agree, MTG. I agree with you.
So, and that is where we put it on. Well, one, if there's anyone listening in Georgia...
Never know.
Find a way to get a hold of Marjorie Taylor Greene's office and press her to press the Senate. Folks in Wisconsin, go to myvote.wi.gov.
Yes.
Call your congressman, call your senators, and tell them that we want the Senate to pull. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things in this bill. But this one specifically, if this one bothers you, call them. Make your voices heard and tell them you want this aspect stripped out of the budget, because it is going to be hard to regulate them in 10 years, if they can at all.
And with all of the things that AI can do, which I think there are some great things. On the other hand, I also think that AI is going to do nothing but make us really stupid. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. News is next.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources officials are sharing safety tips for residents as Canadian wildfires cause air quality issues across the state. Residents are reminded to stay inside as often as they can to limit their exposure, especially if they fall into a sensitive group like children, the elderly, or people with respiratory issues. If you do need to go outside, you should keep an eye on any shortness of breath or coughing. Residents who have respiratory issues like asthma could also consider using their inhaler before heading out. Republican state lawmakers are proposing an expansion of early voting in the state. The proposal would require every municipality to offer at least 20 hours of in-person absentee voting for residents. The state would also reimburse those municipalities for the additional cost. Critics of the proposal say that while increased access would benefit voters, adding the same regulations for rural communities and urban communities would not be the most efficient way to do so, as rural communities don't have enough residents to fill the 20-hour requirement. Health officials say two new cases of measles have been confirmed near the Minnesota and Wisconsin border. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, the cases are unrelated to each other but raise concerns about potential exposure in the area. One case originated in Washington County near the state border, and health officials say that individual was likely exposed on a domestic flight. The other case involved a child at the Mall of America, and health officials are warning anyone who is at the mall on May 24th to look out for possible symptoms. The city of New Richmond has announced over $220,000 in grant funding for the community library. According to city officials, the funding was provided through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation's Idle Sites Redevelopment Grant Program. The program seeks to help Wisconsin municipalities redevelop large sites that have either been underutilized or entirely abandoned. Construction work at the new library is scheduled to wrap up later this year and will include residential units above it and next door. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The King of the Hill actor who provided the voice for character John Redcorn has been killed in a shooting. TMZ reports that Jonathan Joss was found at the side of a road, shot several times. First responders tried life-saving measures, but pronounced him dead at the scene. Sources say Joss was shot by a neighbor after a disagreement. Police did track down the shooter within a few minutes. Joss played Redcorn from season 2 to season 13 of the hit animated show. Jonathan Joss was 59 years old. The Penguin's secret crush is no longer a secret. Danny DeVito had a good old-fashioned showbiz crush on Catwoman. The Twins star said when he was in Batman Returns, he had the hots for co-star Michelle Pfeiffer. DeVito sat down with Colin Farrell, also known for his role as the Penguin, on Variety's Actors on Actors podcast, where the two traded Batman stories. DeVito said Pfeiffer was his secret crush. DeVito says he lusted after her and loved her. Lucky girl. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have a little more of that Canadian wildfire smoke out there this morning, but that should gradually clear through this afternoon, and then we will get a bit of a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Sunny this afternoon, 78 the high tonight, partly cloudy, 47 tomorrow. Sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be on the show, along with Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll talk politics, Packers, and life. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bott, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us on the first Wednesday of the month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is here. Good morning, Darren. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Jane and Matt, or Greg. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We did want to start off with this, and this is from Lucas Hunt, a civic media news reporter.
Nice.
On our civic media website, U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden made an appearance at a cheese plant last Thursday where he voiced support for the Trump administration tariffs. I'm just wondering if you happen to be in that audience, Darren, is it, or did folks, you know, talk about this?
No, I was not present for that event, but I have heard a few different comments from some of the individuals that were either there or seen press releases of it.
And what have you heard from folks?
Well, you know, not necessarily happy. You know, the tariffs are something that's really turned this country around and not necessarily in a good way. You know, it's yes, short-term gain, but I think there's going to be a lot of long-term effects from it that are not going to be on the positive side. So how do we, you know, go about doing our business when we're not sure if we're going to have a market 6 weeks or 2 years from now?
And I'm sure that Derek Van Orden had all kinds of specifics about what he's going to do. Oh, wait, no, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah, you know, it seems pretty vague, and certainly looking at this big, beautiful bill that's being talked about in D.C. right now, he said that he's going to protect the nutrition title of the farm bill to the last extent, which means that he should be voting no on that bill. He voted yes on it because there's $230 billion that's going to be cut from it over the next 10 years. So how is that helping the people that are in most need, which at one point in time in his life, he was one of those people?
That's something he was, you know, we have on video and we played it on various shows. And he not only made a very, very impassioned argument for protecting specifically SNAP. He was talking about SNAP benefits, but he also, I mean, accused the Democrats of lying. And to me, this is a not Democrat or Republican issue. This is a helping people issue. And that SNAP benefit issue is within the farm bill, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Darren?
That is correct. That's where it's at. And, you know, currently there's 160 plus Republicans that are trying to separate the SNAP title or the nutrition title from the farm bill and trying to make it a farm specific and a nutrition specific bills. Which is not good because food and agriculture are all in one, and so let's keep them together.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy.
And another one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, doged, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to make, you know, help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles or 1,500 miles, which, you know, that takes a lot of that those dollars away directly away from the farmers because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program has certainly connected the farmer more directly with the consumer.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food, and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, that those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And, you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden. He joins us the first Wednesday of the month to talk about all the things that are going on in the farming community here in Wisconsin and abroad. And, The one of the things you we're talking about here now is like the cutting of this is the LFPA program. To me, like all I'm hearing right now is investments being canceled because you invest in farmers, they make the food, they take it to the pantries. Those food pantries are giving it away, and it is proven that when people aren't hungry, morale improves, productivity improves. Just general lifestyle learning improves. So I just, to me, like everything about this seems so easy, as you said, Jane, not to mention, and we brought this up before, if I'm a politician, Darren, I want to knock on your door and say, guess what I just did? I protected the LFPA program because it's important for you. It's important for our neighbors. It's important for everybody. And yet they're taking these programs and they're cutting them. And I don't know what they're going to go home to knock on doors and talk to. Well,
look
what
we did.
They're not showing up to town halls anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
There's that.
What I wanted to bring up really quick is one of the things you brought up as a discussion point was cuts to public radio and NPR. Darren, do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think affects not only farmers, but rural citizens across the country. You know, I hear more and more people that are listening to the programs that public radio offers and national public radio or TV. You know, how do we keep those programs alive? And a lot of that is through public funding. About half of the funding, or a quarter of the funding, sorry, to NPR and public radio comes from private donations. So, you know, it's one of those programs that I listen to a lot when I'm driving down the road with all the windshield time that I have. and it has a lot to do with the news source that's there too. It's an independent news source. It's not viable to one particular promoter. You know, at the end of different newscasts, they'll say that one of their sponsors was actually somebody that they were talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
What radio stations do you hear that on?
Yeah.
You just don't. And so how do you know who's pushing what button that they can report on and what they can't report on, where public radio and public TV, you know, really gets to the source. And most times if the opposite sides want to be on the stage at the same time, that's what they would much rather do. But we're seeing a lot of pushback from the far right saying that it's not a good news source. Well, if you don't show up and talk about your point, you really can't say that. It's like the local tavern affiliate or customer that complains about politics all the time but never goes and votes.
Right. Yes.
You really don't have a right to complain about it if you're not willing to be on the program.
I'm very, very surprised that you and other agriculture producers in Wisconsin are NPR fans. And I think that helps explain a little bit, to me at least, why they would like to cut funding. Because I think they would much prefer that Wisconsin farmers were listening to different kinds of media outlets.
Yeah, and you know, and certainly nowadays with modern technology, and if you are lucky enough to own some of the modern equipment, you can get Sirius Radio and listen to whatever you want. But there's a whole lot of us that are still farming with tractors from the 80s and 90s and still have AM radios on our dials too yet. So having as many news sources as we can is what we prefer versus getting to a point where we have fewer and fewer.
Or God forbid, a government-controlled media outlet. Yeah.
I want to make one thing clear, too, when people, because this is the NPR. It can get NPR public radio, they can get lost in a lot of minutiae. And this NPR receives 1% of their their budgeting comes from the U.S. government. It's about $535 million. And some people will say, and it's a lot of money. I take it. But that is 0.0128% of the federal budget. That is how much funds public radio. 0.028%.
It's minuscule.
So let's not make that like, oh my gosh, NPR is such. It's important. It's necessary. And as you just said, Darren, it's very vital for those out there on the farmlands.
We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump recently announced pardons to a range of individuals, including convicted drug dealers, fraudsters, and convicted public officials. ABC News reports one in five have political or financial ties to the president.
Scott Jenkins, a former Culpeper County, Virginia sheriff, had been sentenced to 10 years for taking $75,000 in bribes in exchange for issuing deputy sheriff's badges. Jenkins had been a longtime Trump supporter. Ardent Trump acolyte Michelle Fiore had not yet been sentenced when she received her pardon on April 23rd. A former member of the Nevada Assembly, she was convicted of 6 counts of wire fraud for skimming money from a memorial for a slain Las Vegas police officer. She used the money for rent, plastic surgery, and her daughter's wedding. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was pardoned in February after endorsing Trump's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. Blagojevich appeared on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in 2010, but was convicted in 2011 of attempting to sell President Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat, among other corruption charges. Former Kentucky State Senator and 2016 congressional candidate Brian Kelsey served only 2 weeks of a 21-month sentence on federal campaign finance violations before he was pardoned in March. We have a full list of Trump's pardons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Dean.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave.
That prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care.
Prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.com. To learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today from 2 to 4 p.m., Todd Alba, our friend and colleague. He's going to have Pat Kreitlow and senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, will be recapping all the headlines of the week. And then, of course, Todd always does What's Worse, which is kind of like our audio sorbet when they just kind of lighten things up a little bit. Join Todd today. It's a great show. 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the first Wednesday of the month, so we are joined by the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is here. Darren, we had a couple comments coming in on the text line and also on the live stream. Tom from West Dallas asks, does anyone think that the government is trying to bankrupt family farmers so that corporate farms can take over?
Well, that is a very good question. According to a lot of farmers, the answer might be yes. And certainly looking at how the structure of the Farm Bill has changed from its original intent of protecting farmers of all sizes back in the early days of the Farm Bill, to what it is today when there's a lot more corporate dollars or dollars that go to corporate farms or the very largest farms in this country. I think one of the stats I've seen from USDA in the last 7 to 10 years here is that 80% of all dollars that go directly to farmers are to the 20% of the largest farms. So, you know, farms of my size, a 50-cow organic dairy farm, really get that the tenth of 1% or even less of the dollars. And, you know, looking at the original intent too, there was payment limits at one time. So you could only get, as a farmer, you could only get so much. You know, today that's up in the $750,000 range, I think, is what the maximum payment that you can receive. So what the largest farms are doing is making multiple entities so that they can get, you know, millions of dollars. And that's something that there's actually an attorney, I think, located down in Arkansas that's all that he does for a living is trying to help farmers navigate through those systems in order to get maximum benefits.
Well, in the previous part of the first part of this discussion, we were talking about the cuts to the cut of the LFPA program, which is a program that allows farmers to be paid to grow food and then give that food to pantries in their community, which has been cut under the DOGE and Trump programs. Cassandra in the live stream commented on that, saying, "We are actually currently seeing the effects of firsthand in New London with the LFPA program being canceled. We will have significantly less food here in our pantries," and going on to say, "There was a woman that would donate a whole cow. She can't afford to do that without the tax credit." So those not only are the effects, but they're happening immediately.
And they're happening immediately and locally.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. We had back in May during the last program, which the connection was not the best, which is hard to understand coming from our nation's capital. You think you would have connection all the time. But we had one producer out there that has just about $25,000 worth of fish that were raised to the point of thinking that they were going to have a market for them this year. So now they have to try to find a market for that $25,000 worth of fish. Probably going to be looking at taking a lot less than that because the markets are, you know, controlled in that sector by certain things, certain entities. And so how do you just take a $10,000 loss on a market that you established had been very viable for 2 years, and then Uncle Sam says, "Bye, see you later, it's too bad.
Now it's gone."
Yeah. I go back to the original point is that, you know, individual and we have said this before, and Darren, I'm sure you can attest to this, that politicians on both sides of the aisle have used the American farmer as a great place to hold an event. Get that podium there, stand in front of a field full of
corn breakfast
or soybeans and say, "I love the farmers." And then they go back to Washington and they do things like this. And a lot of it comes under the radar because there's so much happening in the world. But just to be aware of it, and everyone who's listening, to be aware of these cuts. I'm not going to call them small cuts. These cuts to programs that directly affect people like Darren and his friends and colleagues. And the politicians, there's no one holding them accountable to that. They just happen. And we have one right here in the state. SNAP benefits are important. They're not going to go down a nickel. That's a quote. And he votes for this bill, which cuts SNAP benefits along with other entitlements.
In fact, the CBO just came out with their latest estimates on this budget bill, and the CBO estimates it will add $2.4 trillion to the national debt over the next decade. So again, when we talk about cutting some of those programs, which is it's an eensy, beensy, teeny, tiny part of what we spend on an annual basis in this country, cutting those things does not seem like the right way to go about it.
No.
Just doesn't.
Yeah, you know, and looking at the charitable side of most Americans, it seems to be disappearing because this is one of those things that it's helping those that are in most need. And how can we, as true Americans, say that we should get rid of a program that's being beneficial to those people that are most in need, but also helping out multiple facets between the farmer and the consumer, too, because it isn't just the farmer and the consumer. It's all above. So
it's all of us. Yeah. All of us. Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He joins us at the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you so very much, Darren. We will see you in July.
Thank you much, Jane and Greg, and happy June Dairy Days. Make sure you eat lots of cheese and drink lots of milk and those hot days.
We are on it. Absolutely. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Federal officials in California are expected to announce today that a defendant linked to the primary suspect in the fertility clinic car bombing in Palm Springs has been arrested. He is expected to appear in Brooklyn federal court before being moved to California. In Washington, a big push to get that budget bill passed. President Trump is the one doing the pushing, trying to get Republican senators on board.
He is having private meetings in person here at the White House and also doing phone calls with Republican senators. And he's also putting public pressure on some of those holdouts through social media posts. Significant public pressure, including criticism of Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, saying that, you know, he doesn't understand what is in the bill and needs to vote yes on this.
ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers. U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum products were 25% yesterday and are 50% today. Price is expected to go up on everything from cars and appliances to groceries and toys. This is ABC News.